Good morning. Sorry, I slept in this morning, so I'm glad I got here on time. It's December 31st. Happy New Year's Eve. And welcome to the Sunday morning worship service at St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church, whether you're attending in person or listening later online. Among our announcements, let us remember Cornelius Fast, who passed away on December 24th at 88 years of age. A private family burial has taken place, but a celebration of life will take place here at the church at a later date. Pray also for the family of Helen Dick, who passed away December 22nd, and the funeral was held here on December 27th. Lots of announcements on dates in the bulletin. Note the Mennonite Burial Society's annual meeting on January 13th at the Scott Street Church. We are so thankful for an active church, so mark your calendars with all those dates that are in it for all the events beginning again in January. Note our annual church meeting is Sunday, February 4th at 2 p.m., and Doris Dirks sent a letter to my mom, Erna Cornelson. It's posted at the bulletin board by the back door for anyone who wants to read up on it, on Doris's life going on there in Alberta, Winnipeg. Our call to worship is Isaiah 40, verses 28-31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Please join me in prayer. Holy, everlasting Lord, you are our rock and our fortress. We praise you when our own plans fail, knowing your plans for us will be better. On this last day of December, we thank you for being with us this past year, in times of joy and blessings, as well as times of trial. As the year closes, help us release our grudges, our resentments, our anger, and our disappointments, for those are nothing but binding chains. May we cast off the small, vindictive gods our fears have made, and be mindful that our steps make an impact, and our words carry power. May we speak only after we have listened well. May we honor rather than destroy. Teach us forgiveness that we may walk with compassion. Please remind us of your presence in the new year ahead, even when life is busy. Lord, help us to enter the new year joyfully, willing to laugh and dance and dream, remembering our many gifts with thanks and looking forward to blessings yet to come. May we welcome your lavish love. Teach us wonder that we may walk with praise. Teach us grace that we may walk with strength. We are so thankful that we serve a God who makes things new and gives us the grace of fresh starts and new beginnings. Be glorified in our lives this coming year. Be with us this morning, Father, as we praise you and hear your word. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Please stand and join us to sing. Infant Holy.
Infant Holy. Lord of all, swiftly wing.
Seated and continue to sing It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. I'm wondering if there are children who would like to come help us with some instruments. Are there enough? No, Stephanie and Marcus are here. Okay, and we have Oscar and Gus, too.
Thank you. Have such beautiful rhythm. That's amazing. Well, it's so wonderful to see you. Did you all have a good Christmas?
Yeah.
Yes. Give me one awesome thing that you got for Christmas that you're super excited about. That's a tough one, hey? One awesome thing. Too many awesome things? Mm-hmm. Did you get any toys? No, I'm excited about that. And how about some books?
Yeah.
Yeah, books too. Socks?
No.
No? Yes? Oh, there you go. Yes, so great. You know, there are so many awesome things that happen at Christmas time, but the most awesome of all, the thing that we are so excited about, is what's on our center banner, our last banner there. We've been walking through hope and love and joy and peace. Stephanie, I know you're a good reader. What does that center banner say? It says God with us. Exactly. God with us. Emmanuel. And, you know, that is the message of Christmas. It's the exciting thing that Jesus was born here on earth, an ordinary baby boy. And we get so excited about the Christmas story. And then sometimes I think we get a little bit busy with life and we forget what a big deal that is, not just for way back and not just for Christmas, but for all times. God being with us, Jesus being with us, changed everything. And it's kind of like this. I pulled a Christmas coloring book out of the nursery. Have you ever played or colored in this one before? No? You know what? Some people have done some very fine work. Look at this. Look at that beautiful, that little girl who, with the cookies. And someone took a lot of time. The sweater is green and the apron is red and the puppy is brown. And didn't they do such a good job staying inside all the lines? Yeah. What about this? I love that. The bell. And that's with marker. Marker is hard. Hey, look at that. But the bell is gold and the holly and the ivy are the right colors. Here's another one that I thought was really cool too. This penguin. And I know it's cute, eh? Some, you know, and sometimes our days are like these pictures where everything works out great, and things go really, really well. And sometimes they're a little bit more like this friend right here. Look at Santa. What happened there? It's not bad, right? It's creative. Santa's beard is green. His eyebrows are orange. He has a blue sleeve. And he also has, the hat is red, but it's just a little bit different, right? You can see that someone got out of the lines a little bit here, but you know what? It's not really bad. Sometimes it's a little bit more like this. What do you think of that? The bright orange reindeer and the purple Santa. And sometimes, my friends, it can be like this, where one day is like the beautiful snowman family, and right beside it is just a scribble. Right? And you know, the message of Jesus being born is this. We can have really wonderful days where things go well. We can have really bad days where maybe we don't make good decisions and we do some things that aren't very good. We can have really good minutes where things go well and really good minutes where they don't. And guess what we get to have? a fresh, clean page every new day. Every new day we get a fresh, clean page and we can color it any way we want. That's what Jesus gives us, is a fresh, clean page that we can say, I'm going to start all over again and I'm going to see what can happen on this wonderful new day. God is with us. Let's pray about that. God, thank you so much for sending us your son, Jesus, not just because of Christmas, but because he's with us all year long. Help us to live the way Jesus would want us to. Amen. Okay. Happy New Year.
Well, good morning, friends. Happy last day of the year. It is not the new year yet. Slow down. It's now our time for joys and concerns. If you have anything you'd like to share, please raise your hand and we'll have someone get the microphone over to you. A note that we are requesting prayer for Elizabeth Bergen. She is in the hospital right now with COVID and pneumonia, so prayers are welcome and appreciated.
A couple concerns are heavy on my heart. Even though no longer attending our church, they've gone to other churches, I still consider them family. And I hope that's the same for anybody that makes a choice or can't attend or is elsewhere. So this speaks to Catherine Ferretti. She's the daughter of Dick and Helen Coop, her husband Joe. Both Catherine and Joe were just extremely giving members of our congregation and creative. Catherine's so creative. She made at one point all the banners that we had here, very much involved with the decorating, and Joe's so much involved in Boys Club and youth and giving with their farm and such. I won't go into too many details because I don't have direct facts, but I do know that she was in a terrible accident just before Christmas, very broken up, and a young child apparently with her also, and not her child, but a younger child with her. Catherine apparently had to go to Hamilton, very serious condition. So let's keep them, that whole family, in our prayers. Secondly, Arnold Fast. He's the son of Mrs. Fast, brother to Ingrid and Henry Cron. He's been going through long COVID. Arnold, extremely intelligent, so giving, so joyful. He's been really restricted as to what he can do now. He's not able to teach. He's a professor, right, in the Tyndale, was it? Yes. He's not able to do that anymore. This happened already months ago. Him and his wife now, within, I think it was the last week and a half, he's come down with COVID again. So please, let's keep Arnold and his wife and the whole family in our prayers also. His wife is Sherry, yes. I think they live up by Stouffville, is it? Anyways, please keep them in our prayers. And I know of other family member who's gone through a difficult thing in the hospital. I won't mention the name because I didn't have opportunity to ask if that was okay to mention. Just please remember there's other people in our church that are going through real difficult things at this time in particular. Let's keep them in our prayers. If the other family wants to mention who that would be, that'd be fine. But I don't want to speak until I've spoke to that person to see if it's okay. So thank you.
I thank you for sharing.
So on Christmas Day, I got a call from my brother Richard, my older brother. It's not official yet, but he got an emergency, CAT scan done on Christmas Eve. They found spots on his liver and his prostate. So my sister died of cancer. My mother had cancer a few times. The doctor said it's not official because they haven't done a biopsy, but he says it doesn't normally come back that it's not cancer. He lost 15 pounds in 3 weeks, and he's not doing well. So prayers and thoughts, please.
All right, we'll be praying for Richard. Thank you.
Good morning. I just want to say how much we enjoyed Christmas morning service here on this year. Trudy and Trudy, especially on the piano, we had a wonderful time. We sang and we had sharing, and there was only about 35 people there, but us 35 enjoyed it immensely. Thank you to everybody.
Yes, thank you, and thank you for those who gave their time on Christmas to put that together and made it easier for me to be with my family as well. Thank you. All right, well, let's pray together. At the end, I will invite you to pray the Lord's Prayer. We will have that on the screen, but you are welcome to pray that in whatever version you prefer or whatever language speaks most to your heart. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are good. We thank you that you are a God that is not limited by endings and beginnings, but that you are a God who is constantly at work to show your love, to bring redemption, healing, new hope, peace. Lord, we pray that as we end one year and enter into another, that you would remind us again that we are your people. You are our God. You are the one in control of all creation. And help us, Lord, to see how we can participate in bringing that love and new hope into our neighborhoods, into our families, our workplaces, our schools. As we think of the end of the year, Lord, we are reminded again that there are many people who are not entering this new year in the same comfort that we are. Lord, have mercy. Be with those in sickness, those in pain, those in warfare, those in violence, those in addiction, and maybe especially, Lord, those who are in mourning, those who are in loneliness. Lord, have mercy. Continue to work through your people here on earth so we can start to see your kingdom come and your will be done in our midst. To see that new hope and new life. Lord, as we think of those throughout our community who are grieving, we also think of those such as Elizabeth Bergen who are struggling with COVID and pneumonia. Lord, bring her healing. Be with Arnold and Sherry Fast as they also struggle through COVID. Give the doctors wisdom as they care for people. We think of Catherine and Joel and the accident that Catherine was in. Lord, have mercy. Be with her, be with that child that was in the accident. Bring healing. Lord, continue to be with those throughout our surrounding community, those on the, maybe closer to the outskirts, those on the edges who are struggling. Help us to continue to see them as our brothers and sisters and to care for them. And we pray along with Richard and his family as he seemingly enters into a stage now of fighting cancer. Lord, give those doctors wisdom and care as they care for him. Fill him with your strength and your hope as he goes through this and be with his family. We think of all of the unspoken prayer requests that were whispered in our hearts this morning. All of those unspoken prayer requests whispered in the hearts of our neighbors and neighborhoods throughout. Lord, we know that you hear these things. Continue to work. Continue to bring your hope. As we consider all that you have blessed us with this year, we recognize that everything we have belongs to you. Take our tithes and offerings today, this year, this month, this lifetime, and use them to advance your kingdom in word and deed. Now, friends, I invite you to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 to 7. And in the Pew Bibles, it's on page 1072. It's a familiar passage. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness, from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Today is a new day. That is how things were experienced as Jesus enters into creation. That is how things were experienced. But as much as it was a new day, as we think of the day after Christmas, what was that like for Mary and Joseph? When there were no more visitors? When it was just the crying baby and the tiredness? How do we work through that new hope? So there's a picture here. I hope you have all had a Merry Christmas. A good time celebrating. This is a picture of me with my two sisters and my mother. The first time that we were all able to be together since my wife and I got married 12-ish years ago. Don't tell her. She's out of here now. In that range. We had two weddings. It's not my fault. That first Christmas, that experience of joy also comes with all those other experiences we have sometimes at that Christmas season with mourning, with the reality of the days after, the reality of some of those less exciting times, and trying to work through what that means for us. How do we live that out? So today we are looking at Isaiah 9, verses 2 through 7, a familiar passage. If you've listened to the Messiah by Handel, you will catch that he has used much of this in there. A little context so that we know where we are sitting, because we are flying way back into the Old Testament, this prophecy, this hope that they have coming at a time of Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet. And at the time of Isaiah, while he's proclaiming this, we see he's also proclaiming all of these warnings. This is at a time when Israel is slowly moving further and further away from the commandments. Further and further away from having God at the center of their life and nation. And they are starting to become more and more involved with other gods, with serving other countries, with serving other ways of living, more and more like the world. So we see this warning that judgment is coming, that we should turn back, but there is still hope that God will be faithful in the midst of this. This happens even before Nehemiah. So this is a precursor to when everyone will be taken into exile. But just like later in the exile, we continue to see this hope that we will be able to be faithful, that the people of God will be able to be that light to the nations as they're called to be. So now we're going to read slowly through this passage. I'll have some images there for you. And let's try and not just hear it again as something we're familiar with, but hear each of these words and promises anew today. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is a proclamation of hope coming from a prophet who is often proclaiming, everyone's doing things wrong, everything's going to go terrible, stop it, but you're not going to. And now we have this proclamation, but even though we will be unable to stop doing those bad things, even though we won't be able to choose to do good things, God is still going to be faithful while we are unfaithful. This recognition that, yes, there is darkness. And there was darkness experienced in Isaiah's time. They had a terrible king at the time. People were living in darkness away from the hope of God, but that light is coming. That there is still going to be joy in the midst of this pain. That we are going to be able to see a time of true peace. Not just this overcoming of our enemies, not just this peace where we will have this army that is so powerful that no one will mess with us anymore. No, a true peace where we don't even need the things of warfare anymore. Those silly things will be burned away and will be made into something new. That this is a gift that is given to us, a son given to us, not a king just to rule over us. Because this is a different kind of kingdom. Not just a ruler who oversees things with power, but a ruler who serves the people. A ruler who goes and shows us what the values of heaven, what the values of God look like when they are lived out right here in our neighborhoods. Because this is a different kind of king. Says the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish it. That is the joy of God, the passion of God. This is God's passionate plan, and it will be accomplished because this is what God is excited about. We see the trouble for us today. And this is probably a danger that we have all throughout Christianity, throughout the history of our faith. is that we start to see this gift, this child, this Jesus, as a gift who is just for me. We start to see Jesus' forgiveness, this gift that we're offered, as something that's just for me. A gift for me, forgiveness for me, but not for them. This personal Jesus who's just for me, and we limit our faith then down to this small, squeezed out version that's just, well, Jesus is for me, and that doesn't affect the way that I live and I love and serve my neighbors. Because we start to have a Jesus, a God, who looks just like me. Loves the same people I love, loves the same things I love. Cheers for the same tragic sports teams I cheer for. Hates the same things I hate. Hates the same people I hate. We get this place where we personalize Jesus into this salvation for us, this get out of hell free card at the end of our life, while ignoring Jesus' life and Jesus' example that he gives us. While ignoring that Jesus' call isn't for us to say some sinner's prayer and be saved so that we can get to heaven, but that Jesus' call was to deny ourselves, pick up our crosses and follow him, to follow his example. That eternal living isn't something that we get just when we die. Eternal living is something we start to live out today. And see, that is why this passage is so full of hope. That is why Christmas is so full of hope for me, because we get things wrong. We get things mixed up. We make God out to be something else. So what does God do? God comes here to us. We were always going to get it wrong. That's why God comes down, not as an idea, not as theology, not as a powerful nation, but as a little baby, as a person, to show us who we were meant to be, to show us what it really means to be human, to show us how we are meant to live, how we could live in this new way of freedom that's entirely different than the way we see the world often living things out, to show us who God is. If you want to know what God is like, look to Jesus. God looks exactly like Jesus. That is what the Bible says. And showing us who God is then changes us, because it also shows us how much we are loved. That our God wouldn't stay at a distance, but would come here, not just to correct us, but to love us in such a way that we could understand as a person loves us. And then, as we are loved, we are able to love other people. We're able to love like Jesus because Jesus shows us how much we are loved. Jesus fills us with that love. The Spirit fills us with that fire and passion and love, so that as we leave this place, we can go and be the church. Church isn't happening right now. We are gathering together to worship, to learn, to refuel, so that we can go and be the church in our neighborhood, as we love like Jesus. Right, so what does this passage mean for us today? Well, I love the language Isaiah uses. And we see this all reflected in Jesus, that Jesus gives us his wonderful counsel. When I read counselor, I'm stuck thinking in modern terms. I think a wonderful counselor is someone who lets us lie down and hears our problems and kind of helps us work it out. But counselor here in the language means that this is someone who is wise giving advice, who is wisely showing us the way we can live. The teachings of Jesus pointing us to true life. That Jesus shows us what a mighty God we have and what God's might looks like. Not as just this towering, powerful lion roaring, but also as this humble lamb. That it is both the lion and the lamb together that shows us the nature of God's strength. That God's strength is most shown in Jesus' weakness, bearing the cross for us. And Jesus shows us God the Father, which we will get mixed up as we read through the whole Bible. There is a lot of images of God, and it is hard to go and to discern what God is like. So that is why Jesus comes here, to show us exactly what God is like. And Jesus shows us the Prince of Peace. Jesus shows us what it means for us to be peacemakers. That we aren't just people who go and stand at the side and keep the peace and let people live in oppression, in fear, in difficulty, but that we follow Jesus' example of entering into the trouble, protecting those who need protection, enacting God's justice and hope and peace, living it out in such a way that the oppressed are set free from oppression and the oppressors are set free from being oppressors. This reminder that in any circumstance, when we are forced to choose between us or them, Jesus teaches us that we are to choose us for them, giving of ourselves in such a way that resembles Jesus' call to take up our cross. The Christmas story is powerful because it is God coming to us. Because it's this great time of celebration. It's one of our two main celebrated events in Christianity through the year. But the Christmas story is not just something that Jesus is a part of. Jesus is far more than the Christmas story. Because Christmas is a part of Jesus' story. It's a starting point showing us what it looks like to come to people and love them. Christmas is a part of God's great plan. God's zeal, God's passion is in bringing us back, not just into relationship with God, but into relationship with each other. It is the kind of redemption and reconciliation that brings us back into relationship with God and into right relationships with our neighbors. This great plan to redeem and restore all people. Redeem is kind of a funny word. My sister once asked me how I would explain the word redeem to a child. Because I think we use too many funny words. And so the only thing that we ever redeem nowadays is coupons. A coupon is worth nothing until it is used. Redemption, redeeming it, gives it value. That's where the root of the word comes from. To redeem something is to go and to take something that was once considered worthless and not worthwhile and to suddenly give it the full value that it's meant to have. And that is what God intends to do and is in the process of doing now, not just with all people, but with all of creation, with all things, to redeem and restore the goodness. We are offered Jesus as a present. And we see that in the language, this gift given to us, and we experience that at Christmas. But do not miss in Jesus being a present that Jesus came to be present with us. That the great gift at Christmas is that God enters into it and is right alongside us as a helpless baby, as a helpless refugee, as someone who needed other people to change his diapers, to teach him to walk, to keep him protected, to walk alongside him, to help him learn those words, to help him learn those Bible verses that he will later have memorized and be able to proclaim and reinterpret as a man. Jesus is present with us not just at Christmas, but through the power of the resurrection, through the power of his Holy Spirit, Jesus is present with us now. As we go and we live in the world, we don't go out and try and love like Jesus on our own. We go and are able to love like Jesus because Jesus is already there. Because the Spirit is already there moving in us. Our reminder as the body, as people who are endeavoring to follow Jesus together, as the church of Jesus, is that we're not just called to gather. We are sent
We are called to go and be that light in the darkness, to let our neighbors know, and maybe to remind ourselves that in Jesus, it is a new day. A new day has dawned. There is light in the darkness. There is hope in the hopelessness. There is life where there once was only death. There is eternal living that begins now. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are good. We thank you, Spirit, that you are present. We thank you, Jesus, that you continue to come to us, that you continue to work your love and your redemption all throughout our world and throughout our neighborhoods. Lord, it is sometimes hard for us to see your light in the darkness. Light that fire inside of us so that we may make it easier for others to see your love, so that we may make it easier for others to experience your love, so that we may experience your love through our brothers and sisters here today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Tim. I love that image of Jesus leading, it's a silhouette, all the different sizes of people following. So we have a new day, and we can follow Jesus ourselves. We have to choose that. So let's choose that. Please stand and join us to sing Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Receive the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May you be filled with the joy and hope as we enter this new year. May your feet bring the new hope, the good gospel story of Jesus wherever you go. Go in God's peace. Amen.